Anyway, just in order to appreciate this year, we're going to be doing a Tosfos in Daf Kuf Mem here in the 12th paragraph of the Masechta. So a crash course in Ir HaNidachos. The possibility is you've heard about Ir HaNidachos, but you don't know much about it. If you want to know, learn more about Ir HaNidachos, so you're going to be doing the last paragraph in Sanhedrin, the 11th paragraph of Sanhedrin, which I know has a lot of Agadata in it, and it's famous for its Agadata, but also deals with all the halachas of Ir HaNidachos. All the halachas of Ir HaNidachos are found in the 11th paragraph of Sanhedrin. Ir HaNidachos is one of those mitzvahs in the Torah where the Gemara has an opinion, lo hayah v'lo yiyah, never happened, never will happen. And so it's one of those halachas that may fall under the category of it's halacha v'lo lemaisa. It's not practical. However, as we're going to be seeing over the course of Shir today, even though the mitzvah itself doesn't have any practice, but in terms of some of the concepts that come out of it, really interesting. So first, a bit of a crash course. In Parshas Re'eh, so in Perek Gimel, so the Torah describes an Ir HaNidachos. Ir HaNidachos is where the majority of the city is being Oved Avodah Zarah. So under those circumstances, if an individual is being Oved Avodah Zarah, so he's Chayav Misa. So being Oved Avodah Zarah brings about, if they're Edom and Asra, so it's Skila. So a person's put to death and put to death through Skila. However, if you have a city and the majority of the people are being Oved Avodah Zarah, so a number of things occur that are different than just a regular Oved Avodah Zarah. So the first thing that occurs is that they're all going to be subject to Skila. Sorry, let me say that again. Let me say it correctly. They're all going to be subject to Mises Beis Din. When I say all, by the way, I don't mean all the inhabitants of the city. We're only talking about the members of the city who are actually Oved Avodah Zarah. The people that are not Oved Avodah Zarah in the city, so they go free. They're not put to death. But for those people in the city where the majority of the people are being Oved Avodah Zarah, so it is going to be subject to Mises Beis Din, but it's not Skila, it's going to be Cherev. Okay, so their method of execution is changed. That's one. And the other thing is all properties in the city. And so I'm reading the Psukim. This is Parshas Re'eh, Perek Gimel. The Es Kol Shlala Tikbots El Toch Rechova. So you're going to take all the possessions, you're going to bring it into the city for Sarafta Beisha, and you're going to burn in a fire. Esayir v'skol shalala kalil la'ashem alokecha v'aysa tel olam. And all the possessions are going to be totally decimated, and it's going to be a mound. Tel is a mound. Tel olam lo si bana'od, and it's not going to be built again. Okay? And lo yidbak b'yadcha me'umam menacherem l'man yeshiv Hashem echarenapo. And you're not allowed to have anything from that which the city had. Kadosh Baruch Hu's anger should be abated. Okay. So there are basically two unique halachas when it comes to Ir HaNidachos. One is that the people that are Oved Avodah Zarah are not going to be getting skila, but rather they're going to be getting chenek. And two, hereg. And two is that all the possessions in the city are in fact going to be destroyed. Now, just go back for a moment to the pasuk. There's an important part to the pasuk which I'm going to go over here in the introduction again. So everyone is going to be killed by the sword. So the pasuk says that as far as the people are concerned, charev, sword. As far as behemta, also lifi charev, animals also are going to be killed by the sword. So both people and the animals are going to be subject to cherev. And again, when we say people, we mean only the people that were Oved Avodah Zarah. And all the possessions are going to be gathered into the center of the city and are going to be burnt in the center of the city. Okay. That's your crash course in Ir HaNidachos. Okay. Now, with that in mind, let's go to our Gemara. Our Gemara has the following discussion. Our Gemara spends some time discussing what exactly the word tzipora means. Does a tzipora by definition mean a kosher bird? Or could it even mean a non-kosher bird as well? So the Gemara over here entertains the following discussion. The Gemara is in Kuf Mem. I'm an Aleph. I quote it on the source sheet. Tashma mi sefa taharus mechal di'ika tameos. So the Gemara says that that you have to take siparim taharos. Now this is in reference to a mitzora. Mitzora goes through the tahara process after he gets an all clear sign from the Kohen. So he's going to go through a purification process. That purification process has two steps to it. Step number one involves two birds and other materials as well. But we're going to be focusing on the two birds right now. One of those two birds is going to be shecht and the other bird is going to go free. Now you've seen at length in the Gemara over here in the 12th parak of Chulin, this idea where one bird is going to be shecht and the other bird goes free. And The Gemara discusses whether we can entertain various scenarios regarding if we could have either birds be subject to the mitzvah of shiluach. But anyway, Taros Machlal Dika Tameos. Now, by the virtue of the fact that the Torah says regarding these two birds that are going to be offered on day number one of the process of the Mitzorah, and by the way, this is just day one of the Mitzorah, of the Taharas and Mitzorah. The process goes on from there, meaning then you have to go through Shiva Nakiyam, you have to go through seven clean days, and then on the eighth day, the Mitzorah is going to bring another series of Karbanos, three Karbanos in total. One's an Ola, the other's an Asham, the other is a Chatas. Okay, but we're not there, we're only on day one. And our interest right now is only on the first day of Taharos and Mitzorah, and that is regarding the two birds. Mechal Dika Tameos. Now, by virtue of the fact that the Torah says Taharos, so that means that seems to indicate that there's such a thing as a Tzipora Tameah, which the Gemara does not want to entertain, because the Gemara is thinking that the word Tzipora by definition has to be a kosher bird. Lo. Mechal Dika Trefa. So the Gemara says, well, no. Maybe what the Torah is telling us is that the birds have to be Tahor, meaning they have to be kosher. They can't be Treif, meaning of a kosher type, just not Treif. Trefos. Mechayas nafka. The Gemara says, wait 1 second. I already know that the birds can't be treif because the Torah says that they have to be chayos. Chayos, by definition, is the opposite of a treifa. Now, the Gemara says that's true, but not everyone agrees to that. Hanich laman damar treifa chaya. Laman damar treifa nechaya maik lamemar. This is subject to a machlokus, as we just discussed. The beginning of the third parak of Chulin goes through a major debate whether or not a treifa, by definition, is an eno chaya. Or is there a possibility that treifa is a chaya? It's a machlokus. Machlokus atanayim. The Gemara leaves it as a machlokus. It's a machlokus throughout all shas. So anyway, so the Gemara says, good. So if I maintain the position that treifa is in fact a chaya, so then we're good. But a treifa is not a chaya, so then chayos is not going to exclude a treifa. Va'od, bein laman damar treifa chaya, bein laman damar treifa ain't a chaya. So the Gemara says, "Midatan debe Rav Yishmael nafka." And I'll tell you the truth, says the Gemara. It doesn't really matter which side I'm on. I am on the machlokus of whether treifa is going to be a chaya or an eno chaya. The Gemara says we already know based on tan debe Rav Yishmael. What is tan debe Rav Yishmael? Nemar machshu mechaper bifnim, and nemar machshu mechaper bechutz. Ma machshu mechaper amor bifnim, aso ba machshu kemechaper. Af machshu mechaper amor bechutz, aso ba machshu kemechaper. Okay, now. It's funny. It's two lines of Gemara, but the truth of the matter is it gets a little bit intricate. Basically, if you understood the Gemara well, it goes like this. We have a series of karbanos that are brought in the Beis HaMikdash. Some of them are providing kapara. Some of them are providing hechsher. And by the way, some karbanos are neither. Some karbanos are just simply a neder or nedava. But anyway, but of the many karbanos that are offered, some are a machsher, some are a mechaper. Now, we know that when it comes to the machshir and the mechaper that's inside, so obviously they have to be of a certain caliber. They have to be kosher. Now, there are karbanos. Now, we're going to put those in quotes. There are karbanos that are also done outside as well. Now, that statement in of itself can't exist, meaning you can't have a karban that's being offered outside. You have karban-like qualities of various avodas that are done outside. They're not a karban per se, but they're treated like a karban. That's the machshir and the mechaper b'chutz. What is the machshir mechaper b'chutz? So we have one machshir, we have one mechaper that's done b'chutz. The machshir that's done outside, that's our tziporim. That's our birds. Now, in other words, it's not a carbon per se. It can't be a carbon. You can't offer a carbon outside the base of Mikdash, but nevertheless, it's got carbon-like qualities. And you also have a mechaper that's done chutz as well. What's that? That's the sir lazazel. Now, just like the machshir mechaper bifnim, so also ba machshir kemechaper, af machshir mechaper hamor bechutz, also ba machshir kemechaper. The machshir has to be like the mechaper. Okay, so what does that mean? So Rashi brings down everything I'm saying right now is just simple Rashi on the Gemara. So Rashi says like this: we know that of the that which is done bechutz, so of one of them is the mechaper. What's the kapara? The seal azazel. Now, what is the genesis of seal azazel? So it starts with identical goats. And what the Kohen's going to do is he's going to take a lottery, Kohen Gadol. He'll take a lottery. Through lottery, it will be determined which of the two is going to be Lashem and which one's going to be Lazazel. That, of course, by definition means that those two have to be perfectly eligible. We don't know which one's going to be Lashem. We don't know which one's going to be Lazazel. So that means those two goats have to be perfectly eligible. So that means that even though the Sir Lazazel is not offering the Beis HaMikdash, and even though it's going to be thrown off a cliff outside the base of Mikdash, but we know it has to be something which is qualified. And it cannot be something which is disqualified. That's true regarding the Mechaper. It's also going to be true regarding the Machshir as well. the machshir b'chutz is going to be our tziporim, the birds that are used for the mitzvah. So that also has to be something which is qualified. So basically, through Tana de Rav Yishmael, I now know that those which are offered bifnim have to be qualified. Those which are offered b'chutz also have to be qualified as well. So with all that stated, so the Gemara basically wonders now. So when the pasuk says tahara, so what are we coming to exclude? See, parim taharas can't exclude a trefa, because a trefa by definition can't be offered as a karban and can't be used for the for those machshir mechaper b'chutz as well. So now that we've taken that off the table, what are we left with? So to that, the Gemara now is going to offer four suggestions in terms of what exactly taharas is coming to be memayit. Our focus this afternoon is only going to be on the first suggestion of the Gemara. Elam Rav Nachman Yitzchak lemuti tzipori yiridachas. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak suggests that what the Torah is coming to exclude is the bird of an ir nidachas. Now, the bird of an ir nidachas, so what exactly does that mean? So stay tuned, because we're going to try to wrap our heads around exactly what just happened in that ir nidachas and how the bird was extracted out of the ir nidachas. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second, lamai. Now, there are two birds for the Taharas HaMitzora. One which is going to be shechted, and the other one which is going to be released. So it can't be talking about the bird that's going to be sent free, because the Torah wouldn't do that. Meaning the Torah wouldn't send the bird free and then allow somebody else to just simply pick up the bird. Hey, right? I found a bird and you're going to eat it. And meanwhile, the bird belonged to Nir Nidachas. The bird of a Nir Nidachas is Aser Behana. It's Omed L'Sreifa. Nobody's allowed to eat it. The Torah wouldn't do that. The Torah wouldn't allow that. So El Shechita. So it must be that the Gemara is saying like this, that the bird of the Ir Nidachas is therefore going to be the one that's going to be used for the Shechita, which in of itself would have been fine had the Torah not excluded it based on a drasha. Okay. So that is the first suggestion of the Gemara, that I need the drasha of Chayos Taharos to exclude Tzipore HaMetzora. I know it was complicated to get to this point, but we're here now. So at this point right now, the Gemara is offering as a first pshat, in terms of what the Gemara is coming to exclude when the Torah says Tziporos Taharos, is that it's coming to exclude the Tzipor of a Ir HaNidachas. Okay. Tosfos is bothered by the following question. Tema. Hanami Nafka Midatan Debe Rabbi Shmuel Dekevin Shasurim Ba'ana Lo Karina Be'i Mimashki Yisrael. So Tosfos starts off with the following question. We know as a general rule that in order for a carbon to be an eligible carbon, it has to be something that you and I could in principle eat. Meaning it has to be kosher. It's based on our pasuk in Yecheskel. The pasuk over there says, Mimashke Yisrael, that what we give to the Mizbech is something which is Mashke Yisrael. It's something that you and I would be imbibing. You and I would be drinking or eating. And so, based on the pasuk in Yecheskel, obviously it's a pasuk of Navi, but still it's Gilui Milsa. It teaches us that the only thing that you can offer on a karban is only something that you and I can eat. Just to understand this a little bit better, by the way, making an obvious point right now, is that this obviously does not cover everything that goes on the Mizbeach. Notably, what goes on to the Mizbeach? Dam goes on the Mizbeach. You and I can't eat it. What goes on the Mizbeach? Chalev, imurim of an animal go on the Mizbeach. You and I can't eat that as well. So obviously, dam and chalev are obviously not part of the discussion over here. But what we mean to say is that the type of animal that goes up onto the Mizbeach has to be the type of animal that you and I would be able to eat. So, Tosfos is bothered. Once we've established this rule of Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel, that the only thing that could serve as a machshir mechaper b'chutz is anything that could be serving as a machshir mechaper b'fnim, i.e. it has to be of a kosher type, so what kind of discussion are we having? I just collected a bird from an ir nidachas, and at this point in time, I would have entertained the idea that I could use it now as the tzipar that we're going to shecht. It's not a bird that we're allowed to eat. If we're not allowed to eat it, we're not allowed to shecht it, even though we're not shechting it to eat it. We're using it just for the tahara samitzara, but still not allowed to use it based on Tana Debe Rabbi Shmuel. So that's obviously a big problem. Tosfos makes the following suggestion, a chiddush, if you will. The esher de lo memetin memashke yisrael el dumi da arla klai karen shalai yelam shasa kosher kadama perakam de menachos. So vafilo vehilka chafilo chaper mutaros. So Tosfos makes the following chiddush, and that is the following. There is a drasha mimashke yisrael, but maybe the drasha mashke yisrael is only there to preclude those types of isurim that are usur from inception. Isurim like arla, isurim like klaya kerem, where from the moment they come into this world they're usur. Maybe that's what mimashke yisrael is coming to exclude. But something like a bird of ir nidachas, before the city went wayward, before the city went rogue, this bird was totally mutter. It's only because of the actions of the members of the city that now this bird has the status of being aser. So Tosfos suggests that maybe that's not covered by the drush of Mimashke Yisrael. Possibly. Okay, you have to say something. This is what Tosfos suggests as an answer. Deimishum hana'a. Now Tosfos is bothered by the following. Okay, good. So the drusha of Mimashke Yisrael does not include the bird. Fine. What about the fact that anything in the Ir Nidachas, all the possessions, all the properties of the Ir Nidachas, is going to be subject to an Isser Hana? So why wouldn't we suggest that I can't shech the bird without a drusha? I can't shech the bird for my Taharas Metzora because it's Aser Bahana. I'm not allowed to get benefit from such a bird. So Tosfos says, so why isn't that an issue? So Tosfos says, mitzvah mishum dahana, I'm sorry, di mishum hana, mitzvah slav lahanas nitnu. Okay, so Tosfos says, well, we know the general rule is that, generally speaking, when you are doing something for a mitzvah, that's not considered a violation of Isser Hana. Isser Hana is when I'm getting personal benefit from something, but if I'm doing it vis-a-vis for a mitzvah, obviously, there's a tremendous benefit to getting to doing a mitzvah, but that's not a violation of Isser Hana. Isser Hana is when I'm getting some personal benefit from something. For doing a mitzvah, that's not considered Hana. Mitzvah's lav lahenas nitnu. And as a result of that, so you're not violating the Isser of Hana. Okay. Icon that takes us now for the first part of Tosfos. Good. Vitzarech Iyun. But then Tosfos has the following discussion. It's a really short discussion, but he now entertains the following. Vitzarech Iyun bebehemas Ir Nidachas. So let's say now you went into the Ir Nidachas and you took an animal out of the Ir Nidachas. Im avar vihigdisha vihikriva. Let's say you do the following. You went into the city of the Ir Nidachas. Now, what should you be doing with anything, any possessions in the city of the Ir Nidachas? So we all know. What you should be doing is you should be burning it. Or, as we'll entertain in just a moment, you should be destroying it through cherev, through the sword. But let's say you don't do that. Let's say you decide that you're going to take the animal and you're a makdish the animal, and you're makriv the animal. So imu carbon kasher, maybe it would be a carbon kasher, kevan de la sreifa kaima. Because you know anyway, we're going to burn it. Now the conclusion of this Tosfos is really difficult to understand. And what we're going to be doing over the course of the remaining time we have together is we're going to try to make sense of this Tosfos. Tosfos is now entertaining the idea that despite the fact that the Torah is very clear in terms of what to be done with the property of an Ir Nidachas, you're supposed to destroy it, but maybe, Tosfos is entertaining the idea that maybe what we could do is, he's not being a proponent of this idea, but if Bidi Evid, if someone were to take an animal and be Makdish the animal, and Makriv the animal, maybe it works, and then Tosfos ends with the words, Kevan de l'sreifa kaima. Well, you know, it's going to be burnt. What did Tosfos mean at the end over there? Kevan de l'sreifa kaima. That's very difficult. What do you mean by that? And how is that helping our cause? If anything, just the opposite. It's hurting our cause. Meaning, if I'm going to be burning it, so then how can I even offer it as a carbon? What does Tosfos mean over here? So the starting point for an understanding of Tosfos is going to be a comment by the Marsha on the Tosfos. I quote the Marsha. I'm reading the Marsha. So first thing the Marsha does is just clarify the point. And that is, V'ikdisha kodim shenatzis Ir Nidachas lochal ala isur di Ir Nidachas yadamirin beperek chelek shlala v'lo shlala hekdash. First point of clarification says the Marsha. We're not talking about where it was a carbon before the city went rogue. Because we know the halach is very clear. It says in perek chelek, that is the perek that discusses all the halachas of Ir Nidachas, that the only thing that becomes subject to the shlal of an Ir Nidachas is only that which is owned by the people in that city. If it already was mukdash before the city went rogue, so that is not going to get the status of shlal Ir Nidachas. So, if we're talking about where it already was set up as a karban before the city went rogue, so then for sure that would be fine. That wouldn't be subject to any kind of status. And if, let's say, after the city went rogue, now you want to take one of the animals and be makdish lechatchila, that's certainly out of the question. And that's clear from Tosfos, by the way. Tosfos says that he's only talking about b'diavad.
Why lechatchila is that no good? Mishum demayis kedamrin b'sof perakisu adam gabi shofar shel avodah zara. So there, the issue is, it's disgusting. It's mice. Meaning, throughout Shas, we have this idea that if something was used for avodah zara, even if technically it would be okay to use for a mitzvah, but still, there's something disgusting about taking something that was used for an avodah zara and to use it for a mitzvah. It's similar to the idea of mitzvah baba there. It's not the same idea, but anyway, it's mice. It's simply disgusting. Fine. Avaha kashulahu. But this is what Tosus is entertaining according to the Marasha. Avaha kashulahu ba'avar v'gdisha v'ikri v'lami yakarban kasher. But if I was makir of the animal, so would it in fact be a carbon kasher? Why? Kaven delisreifa kaima. Because let's consider now, what is supposed to be done with the animals of the city? So since it stands to be burnt, meaning that's what we should be doing with not only the animals of the city, but all the possessions of the city, ukisuse mechta shiure, kedamrin esof perakisu adam, delo yatza b'shofar shel avodas kochav, and diyishol mehay taima. And what Tosus is entertaining explains the Marsha is the following. We know we have the principle of kisuse mechta shiure. What is the principle of kisuse mechta shiure? So, if you have learned the third parak of Sukkah, so you know this. And he quotes also the sixth parak of Chulin. But either way, you would know it. The idea of kisuse mechta shiure is the following. If I have something that is going to be destroyed, and let's be even more specific, if we're going to burn it, so then the halacha is that the halacha views it as if it's already burnt. So for example, the Mishnah in the beginning of the third parak of Sukkah says that if I have lulav shel ir hanidachas, so I can't use it to fulfill the mitzvah. I am mitzvah lav lahenas nitnu, doesn't matter. Meaning I don't have a shear of a lulav. A lulav requires a certain shear. For those of you who learned the third parak, so you know, it is going to be a total of four tefachim. Right? The Gemara has a discussion. Does that include the shedra? Is that just even shedra and the top leaves as well? Anyway, but it has to be the shear four tefachim. And because there's a demand of having a shear of a lulav, if it's a lulav shear in edachis, it's not going to work. Why? So the Gemara says over there says susim echtashire, because you simply don't have a shear. Well, the way the Marasha understands our Tosfos over here is entertaining the same question, and that is the following: I can't. Would it be possible to suggest that maybe the animals of a city of Nidachas would be used as a carbon? Again, lechatchila out of the question, it's mice. But at least b'dieved, would it be okay to be using as a carbon? On the other hand, the fact is that it needs to be burnt, and since it needs to be burnt, it's as if it's ke'ilu, we don't have a shear. K'suse mechta shiure, and so therefore you don't have a shear. That is the Marasha's understanding of Tosfos. So a couple of interesting points to make about this Marasha. Number one, a point by Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger says it on our Gemara. You can see it inside. He says it very succinctly. He says it a little bit more in detail. I didn't put it on the Mar Makomos, but also in Shalos V'Tshuvos, Kuf Samechei, Simon Kuf Samechei, he discusses it in more detail. And it's a really interesting point by Rabbi Kiva Eger. Okay. He says like this. I mean, you could read it really succinctly at the end over here, but he says it in more detail over here. This idea of Kisuse Mechta Shiure, let's consider what we're talking about. When I have something that needs to be destroyed, specifically it needs to be burnt. So the Gemara in Sukkah says that I can't use a lulav of Ir Nidachas because of the principle of Kisuse Mechta Shiure. Because it's something that is going to be burnt, and since the halacha demands that it be burnt, so we don't have a shear. There's a requisite shear of how much I need of a lulav in order to be yotzi with the lulav, and because of kisuse mechta shiure, we don't have the shear. Good. Rabbi Kiva Eger says, this, of course, that principle is true and that's correct, but it's extraordinarily limited. He says, consider, if there's anything that doesn't have a shear requirement, then there is no psul of kisuse mechta shiure. I'm going to say that again. If there's something that doesn't have a shear requirement, so that there's not going to be a psul of kisuse mechta shiure. I'll give you a couple of examples. Both of these he says in his tshuva on Kuf Samechei. Let's say, for example, I'll come back to our example of shechita in just a moment, but let's say the example of a get. Okay, the requirement of a get is that you have to write a get on something, and v'nasam biyada, and you have to give it to her. Let's say the item of question that you have to give to her is done on something which is omei lisarif. It's something which stands to be burnt. So he quotes the Ran's in Gittin, in Daf Chaf, the beget lo shayach suse mechtashir, kaven de ein shir leget. You see, even though the Torah demands that you write it on a paper, in terms of the dimensions of the paper, the Torah does not give any kind of shear whatsoever for the paper. Paper can be of any shear. Minhag Yisrael is, for those of you who have never seen a get, and hopefully you haven't yet, and hopefully you never will, but for those of you who've seen a get, so a get is 12 lines, that's Minhag Yisrael, but okay, but that's just Minhag Yisrael, right? The letters, Tosfos says in the first daf in Gittin, that the word get, the gematria is 12, it's the Minhag Yisrael is to have 12 lines. But that's Minhag Yisrael, meaning there is no shear for the thickness of the paper, the height of the paper, the width of the paper. In other words, it just simply has to be written on paper. If the Torah does not give a clear, linear dimension of how it is, so then it is not subject to ksuse mechta shiure. Now, it's an interesting comment by the Ran over there, and Rabbi Kiva Eger says basically why? Because ksuse mechta shiure, basically what it does is, it takes something where the Torah says it has to be of a certain dimension, and because it needs to be burnt, you simply lost the dimensions. You haven't lost the item, but you've lost the dimensions. Since a lulav has to be four tfachim, ksuse mechtashiri tells me that I don't have four tfachim. But what ksuse mechtashiri does not do is it does not eradicate the item in total. That's the yisod of Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger says the same thing is true over here. In fact, he's so bothered by the comment of the Marsha. Same thing is true over here. What are we talking about? We're talking about shechting an animal that was taken from a irinidachas. Now, the way the Marsha understands Tosfos, what's the concern of the Tosfos? The concern is ksuse mechtashiri. Well, you don't have a shear. Rabbi Kiva Eger basically says, let's think about it. What exactly is shechita demand when you're shechting an animal? Okay, the very basic of shechita. What is the very basics of shechita? What do you have to do? You have to take a knife, and you have to cut through the two pipes of the animal. Right? First you cut through the trachea, and then you cut through the esophagus. Okay. Now, to be clear, is there an amount that you have to shech? Now, when I say amount, I'm talking about any linear dimension of what you have to check when you're checking an animal. There is a percentage of what you have to check. What is the percentage? So, the percentage is rov simanim, but of the simon itself, there is no amount that you have to check. You have to check a certain amount of it, a percentage of it, but there's no amount that you have to check. Here in the Tshuva, he writes it very clearly. Sorry, it's not what I wanted to read. There's no amount that you have to shecht in terms of linear measurements, not in circumference, not in diameter. The only thing that the Torah wants is that you have to shecht the majority of the siman, but that's just a percentage. That's not a absolute amount. So if I invoke the principle of ksuse mechta shiure, it's not going to take away from a shechita, because shechita doesn't have a dimension. The only things that become disqualified through the principle of ksuse mechta shiure are those things that have a dimension. Shofar, which the Marsha himself acknowledges, is something that has a dimension, right? A shofar has a minimum dimension. The Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah tells us that a shofar has to be going and extending a little bit beyond the fist on both sides. But that is a linear dimension. So there, if it's a shofar shel nidachas, it's not going to work because ksuse mechta shiure. There's a linear dimension and therefore it cuts it down. Masha ein kein, if it's something like a get, like the Ran in Gittin, or as Rabbi Kiva Eger adds, if it's something like shechita, so that's something which does not have a dimension, and so therefore ksuse mechta shiure is not going to take away from it. So Rabbi Kiva Eger is very bothered. The Marsha's understanding of Tosfos over here, that Tosfos is entertaining the idea that maybe if I took an animal from Ir Nidachas and shechted it, it's not going to work because of the problem ksuse mechta shiure. Rabbi Kiva Eger says it's not a problem. Ksuse mechta shiure is simply not going to affect a shechita because there is simply no minimum dimension. Okay. Wanted to go through the tzlach. We're not going to go through it now. So let's quickly just recap the basic points over here. The Gemara in Chulin tells us that I can't use a bird for the I can't use the bird of Yiridachas for Taharas HaMetzora because of a drasha. Tosfos, after explaining why it doesn't violate the rule of Mashke Yisrael, Tosfos wants to know, if I took an animal from an Yiridachas and offered as a karban, so would it be a good karban? Kevan de l'sreifa kaima. Now this comment of Tosfos over here, understood by the Marsha, is what's Tosfos' concern? Since it's from an Irin Idachas, and since it needs to be burnt, so therefore it may not serve as a good shechita because Ksusim Echtashiri, I don't have a shear. Okay. And on that, Rabbi Kiva Eger notes that the rule of Ksusim Echtashiri is not always true. If the Torah demands a certain shear, Ksusim Echtashiri tells me I no longer have the shear. But if the Torah does not give me a shear, so then Ksusim Echtashiri is not going to affect it. We saw it based on the Gemara, based on the Ran and Gittin regarding a get. Even though if it's the paper comes from an Irin Idachas, it still would be a valid get because there's no shear of paper that I need. So therefore, Ksusim Echtashira is not going to affect it. And Rabbi Kiva Eger has, it's also true by Shechita as well. Since the Torah does not give a dimension of Shechita, so therefore it's not subject to Ksusim Echtashira because there's no absolute dimension in which the Torah works with. So Rabbi Kiva, quite frankly, does not understand the Marsha's understanding of Tosfos. Okay. If you want to see inside, Tzlach gives an entirely different understanding of Tosfos. It works. His pshat of Tosfos, obviously, he tries to fit into the Marsha. Whether it does or does not, you can be the judge of that. But it's another approach in terms of how to understand Tosfos over here. But the idea of Ksusim Echtashire and literally the limits of Ksusim Echtashire, just really interesting in terms of how to contemplate it.